The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Turn with me to Psalm 34 tonight. I have been talking the last few weeks about speaking in tongues and singing in tongues. Do we all have Bibles up here? All of our youngsters? Speaking and singing in tongues. And tonight I want to talk along that line, bondage-breaking praise and worship. I submit to you, one of the most powerful weapons we have in spiritual warfare is praise and worship. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And then what I'm hoping is we'll have a sing a song or two, and we will hopefully have a mass deliverance, if the Spirit would lead, and break any bondages. Anybody walk in with any bondages tonight? Got anything, any chains holding you down? Well, we're going to hopefully break those under the anointing tonight. Amen? That's what it's all about, going to church, particularly on a Friday night. This is Friday Night Live. The idea is you come and you get free, so you can go into the next week. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, first thing I want to say tonight is, to get out of grade school, to get out of Christian kindergarten, to get out of spiritual nursery school, you've got to learn what this verse means. This is one of the most important principles you'll ever learn. And I don't care how long you've been a believer. You never get away from this basic principle. In fact, I submit to you, many of us may have forgotten this just this very day, the principle in this verse. And it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, you got to learn that it's an issue of your will, not your feelings. He says, I will bless the Lord. Praising God is not an issue of how you feel. And I submit that most of the time you're not going to feel like praising God. Can you hear an amen? You're not going to feel it. You've got to understand that we are to praise Him by our spirit. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit, in truth. And spirit is different than soul. And soul is where your mind, your emotions, your feeling. We've got to learn to worship Him from the spirit. And that's apart from feeling. And this is grammar school. This is kindergarten. Spiritual. Until you learn to walk with the Lord on the choice of your will rather than emotions and feeling, you'll never grow up. You'll forever be subject to the waves, to the circumstances. You'll forever be beaten down by whatever's going to come on. Can I amen? Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. And John says in 1 John 5, what is the victory that's overcome the world? Even our faith. And what is faith? Faith is to make a choice by truth, not based upon the truth of a situation, the truth of God, and not our feelings. So he says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now that is so simple, yet how many of us forgot that today? Come on. We forgot it today. I mean, I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. Next summer, believe it or not, it'll be 30 years I've been walking with Jesus. That's a long time. I was sitting about that, thinking about that thing. 30 years since I was born again. And yet, you know, that doesn't mean nothing, because I can just as quickly forget these basic principles as a new babe. In fact, the truth is, the new babes tend to forget less. Amen? When you first come to the Lord, man, I tell you, it's all the Lord. We don't get distracted by this stuff in life. And if you walked in the way a while, you know, you've got to hang on to the truth of these principles and walk in them. And I have to remind myself, it's an act of the will. I've got to worship Him by my spirit, not my emotions. Because the emotions are always going to be. In fact, that's where the demons come. The fiery darts of the wicked one. We're attacked by the demons in our emotions, in our mind. Is anybody out there tonight? Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble hear and be glad. You know what that verse says? The psalmist is saying, in other words, I'm going to give all the glory and honor to Him. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. You know, the first thing you've got to do to understand spiritual warfare, bondage-breaking spiritual warfare, praise and worship, is you've got to drive a stake in self-sufficiency. In self-sufficiency, prideful, self-reliant ways have to go. God resists but gives grace to the humble. Same thing. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear. You know how you can tell? Listen carefully to this. You know how you can tell you're operating in self-sufficiency? This is a surefire way. There is the clearest barometer of how much self-sufficiency you're operating in your life. It's this. You don't praise much. Because he just said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Then my soul will make her boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear. The idea being, what kills and crushes self-sufficiency is praise and worship. Constant reliance on the real presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moment to moment, through praise and worship by my spirit, through my will. And one way to know, it's almost like a barometer. The way you can know the degree in which we move in self-sufficiency is directly correlated to the degree in which we do not praise Him and worship Him by Spirit. Our praises are infrequent, intermittent, occasional. Some of us read it, I will bless the Lord occasionally. Or I'll bless the Lord sometimes. His praise will occasionally be in my mouth. It's not what it says. This is Christianity 101. We've got to learn that He is always worthy. He is always worthy to be praised. Always. Always. You know what's going on in heaven right now? Prayer meeting? A praise meeting. Once in a while, in the scripture, you see the clouds roll back. The sky roll back. You see what's going on in heaven. One of them was the night Jesus was born. They rolled the sky back. And some shepherds got to see what was going on in heaven. Remember? What was going on in heaven? The angels were singing. Revelations 4, you see one time, the skies roll back. There's this adoration, worship going on in heaven. There's time and time in the scripture where God rolled the skies back. Hey, you can see, that's what's always going. In fact, Christ even said, man, there is joy in the presence of my Father. There's dancing and kicking around and singing and praising. If just one sinner comes to repentance. You know, the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places. In fact, there's a verse the Lord's been talking a lot to me, a lot in Colossians 3:1. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, not the things on earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And you know, there's no other way to do it than worship and praise. And you got to speak in tongues if you want to do it in power. I'm not saying you can't praise and worship God without speaking in tongues. Bo and I this week were at a pastor's meeting, okay? And there's this pastor that's a good brother friend of ours. I love him. He's a great guy. He's got the Lord on him. He's anointed and called, but he don't speak with tongues. Okay, he doesn't. But he's got the Lord all over him. Well, he went to a silent retreat this past week, a silent retreat at Trinity Pines with a bunch of guys, and to seeking the Lord. And at one point, this is great. Baptist preacher telling us this, you know, he hangs around us charismatics and starting to rub off, you know. He's saying, yeah. And they challenged us to get up in the morning and we worshiped, and then we went off. They said, spend a couple of hours just getting quiet and hearing God's voice. So he began to tell us, and there were, three charismatics in the room. He's telling us this. He said, so I'm walking along the water's edge, you know, and he's saying, and I'm trying to get where I can hear God's voice so I would, you know, focus my mind on things and give thanks for like the bird and the sky. And he said, I just focused my mind for an hour there and I would focus on this and focus on that. And then he said, I stopped and I had the peace and I heard God's voice. And I thought, praise God. Amen. But I thought, I'm sure glad I speak in tongues. I don't have to focus my mind. I mean, the beauty of speaking in tongues is when I go out by the water, I just sing in tongues, man. Forget the mind. Honda City all about the Alamona. Just worship the Lord in the Spirit and truth. And I may just start turns to tap on. Can you hear an amen? It doesn't mean you can't find the Lord or experience God or hear Him without speaking in tongues. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's just a lot easier and a lot quicker when you speak in tongues. I thank my God I speak with tongues. Paul said, more than you all. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 14. He, you know, one time it says in the book of Acts, Luke was describing their journeys, and one time it says that we let Paul off at this city, and we picked him up at this city. It's a strange little passage. He apparently said, for he minded himself to walk. Apparently they were going, you know, the boat was going along, and they, Paul jumped off and said, I'll meet you in the next town. You know what he did that whole week? Spoke in tongues, I'm convinced. He says, you know, I've just been with people. He says, I need to spend a couple hours just speaking in tongues, walking down the road, getting back in the spirit realm. The first thing we've got to learn is it's an act of the will. Jesus said, out of your bellies would flow rivers of power, rivers of living water. But the lever for that river is in our hand. Every day, every moment, we have the power, we have the capacity and the ability to release the anointing from within by worship and praise and adoration. Can you hear me, man? And I'm going to tell you, man, the whole device of Satan can be summed up in this. The whole device is to get inside your head and say, think thoughts. That's it. Think thoughts. Need to think about this. What about that? He throws a dart in. What about this? What about this? You better think about this. Got to fix this, right? That's called self-sufficiency. Our mind begins our master. Our master is our mind. We're not to live by our mind. As it says, the minding of the flesh is death, but the minding of the spirit is life and peace. So the best thing to do is not think thoughts. Your mind is a dangerous thing. Can I hear an amen? I mean, it is dangerous. It can easily, the fact the Bible says that we do not, or the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down every thought and every reasoning, and that exalts itself against the knowledge, and taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you do all that stuff? Sing in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. Bless the Lord at all times. Verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now I want you to notice, once you've confronted prideful self-sufficiency, now that everybody comes together. Look, people have come together in verse 3. See that? You know, you're never going to really be with someone until you learn verse 1 and 2. When you learn to worship the Lord, when you learn to overcome self-sufficiency and walk in the humility of brokenness before the Lord, all of a sudden, community happens. Oh, come. Let us what? Magnify, let us exalt His name together. There is the power of God's people coming together. But it starts each one of us. Each one of us. You know, you can be around people and be alone. Can you hear me? And sometimes you can be alone and be around lots of people when you're in the Spirit. Christianity was always meant to be community. Christianity was never meant to be a Lone Ranger thing. The New Testament epistles were written to groups of people, not individuals. American church understands so little of the true nature of Christianity. Christianity is where two or more gather together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. If you have a pencil, you might want to underline the word all. All your fears. That's anxieties, that's worries, that's petty worries, that's petty fears. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Look at verse 5. They looked into Him enlightened and their faces were not ashamed. This is even deeper promise. Verse 4 is deliverance from fear, but verse 5 is deliverance from shame. And I believe the shame is deeper than fear. Often our fears are motivated by our shame. We're afraid that we're going to be exposed because of the hurt. So we live in torment of anxiety, for fear hath torment. Shame is like a splinter. Shame is a splinter that is embedded in many people's souls. You know, if you don't get the splinter out that's in your finger, what's going to happen? It's going to breed and infest and infect. Shame has got to come out. I've seen people that are tormented and demonized to the hilt. And the infection of sin and addiction and compulsion and bondage in their life is rooted in a sliver of shame. In a splinter of shame. It may have been something that occurred to them 20 years before, 30 years before. Something happened where they experienced shame and they never really understood forgiveness, or they never forgave themselves. And the demonic spirits tormented them for years. The Bible says that's what he does in Revelation 12. He's the accuser of the brethren. And they feel ashamed, and they're shamed and afraid anyone should ever see this. So they cover up with religiosity or legalism. Or they finally avail themselves to illicit behavior but all the while the root is a splinter that has to come out. Praise God for deliverance. Deliverance is all about going in and finding the splinters and pulling them out, rather than stripping leaves and breaking branches, going to the roots. You know, if you have a problem smoking, You know, offering incense to the god nicotine. By the way, I know why it isn't God's will to smoke. Because if it was, our noses would be turned the other way, like a chimney. So it's not as well. But if you have a problem smoking, or you have a problem indulging in some kind of surface behavior, drinking, drugs, illicit behavior of any sort, I submit to you tonight, quit trying to change. Quit trying to stop. In Jesus' name, stop it. Quit trying to stop. Because if you ever stop that behavior, you'll be so proud of yourself, amen, that you'll just fall in some other thing. That pride will just open another door to something else. All I'm saying is a lot of that stuff in our life is nothing but symptoms of the real problem. The real problem is a root, a self-hate, some area that you've never forgiven or you've never been forgiven, a curse, a generational curse, and maybe a demon buried down in the psyche of your soul. You need deliverance from the roots. And you know, when you get deliverance from the roots, the fruits fall off. Amen? If you go to a poplar tree and you inject somehow on the ground poison into the roots, the tree is going to die all the way to the top. The apple's an apple tree. The fruit will die, shrivel on the vine when you deal with the roots. That's deliverance. But most ministries, he says, they've healed the heart. In Jeremiah, I think it's 7 or 8, he says, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. New American reads superficially, saying peace, peace, where there is no peace. Deliverance is going to the roots. Christ cursed the fig tree. How? Where did he curse it? At the roots. So the good news is we're not called to be religious and follow all these laws and do everything right and nice. We're called to humble ourselves to Jesus and cry out to him to set us free. For whom the Son of Man shall make free shall be free indeed. To set us free to the core, to the depth of who we are. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God wants to allow us to allow his spirit to come and deliver us from the roots. And we are into deliverance in this church. We're not ashamed of it. We're into a lot of other things, but particularly into that. And a lot of people have gotten our deliverance booklet and they've not filled it out. And they're not seeking deliverance, and I encourage you to do so. Sunday night after Sunday night's going by, we're not filling up our tally of ministry. And something says the enemy's out there. I challenge people, man, quit treading water. Press in. Pursue this thing. You know, you're always going to find time for something else. But, you know, God will just let you get so miserable and so tormented, you'd rather die. Then you'll come in for deliverance. Amen? Why do we wait that long? Now notice verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now I want you to notice, verse 5 talks about fear. No, verse 4 talks about fear. Verse 5 talks about shame, and verse 6 talks about troubles. He's talking about, I'll deliver you from fears, shame. In fact, look at verse 17 and 19. That they talk about troubles too. The righteous cry, the Lord hears, delivers them out of all their troubles. Verse 19. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers them out of them all. See, this scripture is all about deliverance from fear, shame, and troubles. But you know, if you notice, there's a condition to the promise every time. There's something you have to do. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. Verse 5, they looked unto him. Verse 6, they cried unto him. You see, nothing is going to happen to you, with you, or through you until you take the initiative. Complacency, passivity, presumption. Now, the worst enemies to any spiritual freedom. You've got to take the initiative. Cry out to the Lord. Look unto the Lord. Seek the Lord. Knock, and it'll be open. Amen? Seek, and you shall find. Press to the mark. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven is not for the passive, the lazy, the complacent. Not. And yet most Christians are that. The presumptuous. The kingdom of heaven is for people that are done or hate this thing, this world, and want the real thing. But you got to take the initiative. Draw nigh to me. What? It's what I call the you go first principle of the kingdom of God. We have to take the initiative to come to the Lord. That speaks of taking charge of the flesh. You got to take charge of this flesh. You've got to discipline yourself. You'll never be an overcomer. You'll never be free. You'll never experience joy unless you have personal self-disciplines in your life. It won't happen. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to live by your will, not your emotions. By your spirit, not your mind. Lock in spiritual disciplines of praise and worship. I was thinking today, we've talked a lot about praise breaks in this church. That's where you stop and go worship the Lord for a few minutes. Well, a lot of times, it seems like I just can't fit in a few minutes. Boy, the brain really convinces me. You can't stop for 3 minutes. You know, you has too many things to do. You cannot stop for 3 minutes. And you know, I buy that. Well, then the Holy Spirit whispered to me the other day. He said, yeah, but you can have a mini praise break. I went, yeah, that's neat. He said, you can stop for 3 seconds. How about 10 seconds? I said, I can do that. So I started doing that. I said, oh, you know, 10 seconds. Like at a light, you know. Some of us, we think yellow means go faster. Yellow means stomp the pedal. You know, stop at the light. And just praise and worship Jesus for 10 seconds here and there. Little mini offerings of sacrifice. Can you amen? That's how, you know what? It would be so much wiser if you got a little gap of time, like 10, 20 seconds, and some of y'all mamas say, yeah, that's about all I got during the day, yeah. You know? Then you come into His presence and you worship Him. You'd be amazed when you quit, you do that a couple times for the day, how less, far less self-reliant you are, and how your ears open to the Spirit. And suddenly life takes on a new, what, luster. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord. Now, I like this verse. Look what we came to now. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him and deliver Him. Now, you know what? The psalmist just ratcheted this thing up to the spirit world. I submit to you that there is an angelic realm that God wants us not only to be aware of, but to experience. But you know, if you notice, the angel showed up in verse 7. There's a lot we have to walk in and understand and move in before we can comprehend the things of the spirit world. Before we can operate in the discerning of spirits. The angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear Him and deliver them. God wants us to understand that there are angels, there are angelic beings around us. And praise the Lord, there's more of them than the demons. I know, I've seen some of these suckers, man. They are gigantic. In fact, one night, I was preaching, and there was this guy who was into, what's that, Wicca, right? And bless his heart, I had just preached at the burial of his little daughter. She had died. Preached the funeral. And he came to one of our meetings, and I was preaching that night, and this guy was really into the occult. I mean, seriously, the occult. You know, pentagrams, invoking demons and stuff. That's what they do with that weird religion. So sometimes when you're in the occult, you see things that people normally don't see. But his heart was open to the Lord for a season because his baby had died. And he came, and we were able, and he made a profession for Christ. He did. Now, I don't know that it was very deep or real, because he subsequently fell back into Wicca. But for a window, well, he came to one of the meetings, and this really blessed me. And boy, the anointing was strong tonight, and I was preaching like I was here, just, you know, and then it did some mass deliverance. And somebody went over and touched him. He went out, bam, on the ground. Remember that? Some of y'all were there? And he was just out, man. And I remember thinking, whoa, this is a Satan worshiper out in the Spirit of the Lord. So at the end of the meeting, everybody's leaving. He comes into my office. He says, he's looking at me with eyes this big. And he stands there looking at me like this. He says, man. I said, what's the deal? He said, do you know what you have on either side of you? I went, no. What? And he began to describe these spirit beings that stand on either side of me when I preach. He said he'd seen them before because he'd been at the church before. He said, but they manifested. He said, what is it? He said, the shoulders were at the height of the top of my head. He said, they were both leaning on swords like this, looking down at the people while I preached. And I went, yes! Y'all believe that stuff? There's a Bible verse. The angel of the Lord, what? Camps. Aren't you glad they're camped out? In camp. I mean, that means they've rolled out their sleeping bags. They've got the tents all set up. They're camped out, man! Unfortunately, some of us sneak out of that camp, don't we? Hello? Angels look around. Where is he? I'd rather not know. We sneak back in. The angels kind of get back in their tents, go, oh, Lord, until we get covered by the blood again. Hello? The angel of the Lord. Look, angels are real. It's the angels that demons are intimidated by. Now, I could tell stories about that. But in a deliverance session, it's the angels that demons freak. Spirits fight spirits. See, when we take authority in the name of Jesus, when we speak under the anointing for something to be healed, or we speak to the elements, you know, we have authority to speak to the elements, by the way. Not the elephants, the elements. We have that authority in Jesus' name. Christ spoke to the, you know, the stormy wind, spoke to bread, you know, multiply. I guess he spoke to it. You know, he spoke to wine. We have, or if you speak to a demon, then we can command demons to come out. Do you know when we speak in the authority of Jesus, angels are loose to the heavenlies to do our bidding. That's true. When it's done under the anointing. And this, I can prove this to you. All through the Word, the angels are sent as ministering spirits to minister the ears of salvation. They are there. And that's what freaks demons out, man. The angels of God. And it's when we seek, verse 4, when we look into Him, verse 5, or we cry, it's that when the angels unsheath their swords. And they begin to deliver us from fear and shame and the troubles. Can I run? Now, let's look an example before we finish. Acts 16. I'm going to look at total beautiful example in the Word of how this works. And then we're going to pray. Acts 16. You there? Verse 16. Paul and company. What was this? Philippi, right? Is that my right? Paul and company in 16, just when he went to that town to start this church, it ultimately became a church, came to pass as we went to prayer, verse 16, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Now my margin reads of Python. The literal Greek word there is this woman had a Python demon inside of her. I may have seen a picture of a Python. That's a wicked snake, man. Big. Isn't that the kind that's killed by squeezing? It's not your run-of-the-mill garden snake, okay? This woman had this snake inside of her. Now, I have seen snakes inside of people in the spirit. In fact, one day, I saw a snake in the natural. As I was casting the demon out, I looked at the foot of my driveway, and there was a big snake sitting there, and it had never been a snake before, and never since, right up there, as I cast that snake spirit out of that guy. Snakes are real. Spirit demons are real, and sometimes they manifest in the natural, sometimes not. This woman had a Python demon in her, and they met her, and she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In other words, she was a palm reader. She was quite, you know, that she, people would pay her money to know the future. And I mean, the demons, they can tell you the future. Yeah. You know, you're gonna be, stolen from, killed, and ultimately destroyed. I mean, the thief comes to what? I mean, the rest is guesswork, but that one they got down. You sit under my spirit, I promise you, you're gonna be stolen from, killed, and destroyed. Well, there's a certain level of the future they know. You know, that's big business today. Do you know that snake telling, fortune telling? There's something called the psychic network. Did you know that? Fortune telling is big business. There are 900 hotlines. There's even incredible amount on the internet. I mean, unbelievable amount of this fortune-telling garbage. Just, if you've ever dabbled with this, man, you talk about, it's like saying to demons, here, come on in, come on. Inside, inside, inside. That's what it is. If you ever dabble with this stuff, it was absolutely forbidden in the Old Testament. They would stone people for this. This is idolatry, violation of the first commandment. So people obviously don't realize it's a snake. You know, I think if people saw the demon, you know, one of the best things can happen in a deliverance session is that manifests and people see outside of them what they've been living inside all those years. Finally, they want to be free. Amen? Sometimes it's good to get prayer, and that thing comes up, and you go, my God, and it goes back in. Oh, it's in there. Suddenly you want to fast and pray and go for deliverance, amen? God makes them stick their ugly head up. Ah! Yes, I'm inside of you. Ah! I want more prayer, and you get it out. And then, you know, you become a specialist of getting the same thing out of other people. Amen? That's the way it works. So, the same followed Paul and us crying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shown to us the way of salvation. See, this demon in this woman, it had never met a Christian before. I'm convinced. This python snake didn't know what Christians were. There wasn't a whole lot of them back then, okay? I mean, this was really new on the earth. In fact, remember when Jesus walked in the room, demons started screaming out, "Ah, you're the Holy One! Ah, you're going to throw..." Quiet! You know, I mean, this was new to the demons. They kind of had full run of the place, you know, until Jesus shows up, and then he dies and puts a spirit on his Paul walking around casting demons out. So he walks in town, and this demon feels his power. Paul and them walk by the fortune teller, and this demon goes, "Whoa, what is that power? It's bigger than me." And the demon drags the woman along and starts speaking through her mouth. "These men will show us the way of salvation." Well, demons don't normally say that, because that's the truth. But I figure it was a dumb demon. It was a dumb spirit. It was new to him. It was amazed. It was yelling. This was all new to the demon. And this went on for a few days. It says, verse 18, "This she did many days." Now, I'm amazed that Paul would put up with it for many days. Probably because it was saying true things. He didn't discern right away as a demon, you know. He said, "Ah." But at one point he agreed. He said, "Wait a minute. Wait. This doesn't feel right." You know, and she's saying this, but it just... And then it dawned on him, you know what a... she doesn't have a whole lot of credibility. Everybody knows she's a soothsayer, you know, and she's the one lauding us. So he being grieved, he turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it says he, notice the masculine term, came out of her the same hour. The demon came out. He cast the demon out. I really believe what it was. He was waiting on God's timing. He was waiting on that anointed word. He's waiting on the Holy Ghost. And that's true. I found in deliverance. You know, sometimes it's like something coming to fruition. You ever go to try to pull a fig off a fig tree and it's not quite ripe? You got to tug on it, or an apple, or you know what I'm saying? But there's a point when it's just ripe. What, you can just go like that and it falls into your hand. It's the same thing with deliverance. It's the same thing. A lot of times the things in our life, they have to come to. They have to. It's like birthing a baby. It's got to come to what? Full term, and then there's the delivery. It's injury. It's called the delivery. It's something alien going out of the body. I mean, I'm sorry for the analogy, but it's there. Something that's not you leaving the body. It has. There's a time. There's a. You know, it's always wise to move in the spirit when you cast out demons. Because if you cast a spirit out before it's time, it could come back with seven worse. Because the person may not be repentant. Amen. We've got to move in the Lord's time and wisdom. I've gotten to where I will not pray for people for deliverance until I discern that, you know, they're fully broken, repentant, and hate the thing. Because if you don't hate it, you'll throw it out, but 3 days later you'll be laying out a welcome mat trying to get it back in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just three people know what I'm talking about. Nobody else? Some of y'all have revolving doors. Don't kid me. You know, demon goes out, demon comes in. Demon goes out, demon comes in. Demon comes out, demon comes in. Demon doesn't go out this time, says, "Give me a break. I'm staying in." None of y'all relate to that? Okay, you know friends, you know people that do that, right? And when her master saw the hope of her gains was gone, you know, apparently they used this girl as a slave and made money off her. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. They got the two guys that moved in deliverance. Look, they brought them to the leaders. I guess they were going to give them the key to the city. They said, "This is great. Somebody's bringing the ministry of deliverance to Philippi. How exciting." And they said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. What? Wait a minute. That doesn't sound lauding to them. And they teach in customs, which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And when the multitude rose up together against them, they rent off their clothes, and they commanded, and they beat them. And when they laid many stripes on them, whoa. I think in the United States we call that cruel and unusual punishment. I mean, they beat them with a cat of nine tails, bloody, screaming, horrible pain. Beat them, probably stripped them naked and beat them in the public square for casting a demon out. And if that wasn't enough then, they cast him into prison, but they charged the jailer to keep him safely, who, when he received a charge, he put him into the inner prison. Whoa. Now, we're not talking, you know, some Huntsville institution up here, you know, with a rec room, pool tables, internet access. You know, we're talking first century prison. And not just that, but the inner prison, the one with no windows. You notice that when the demon left, the trouble came. When the demon left, the trouble came. I really believe this is a typical reception to those moving in deliverance. Isn't it exciting? Who wants to sign up? You know, it's one thing to talk spiritual warfare, and there's a lot out there. You can't turn on Christian TV or Christian radio or look at Christian periodicals. They're talking about spiritual warfare. That's the big thing. It's a lot to talk about spiritual warfare, and there's this great spiritual power movement. There's a great movement going on, and I know I was right in the middle of it for a long time. You know, the strategic level warfare and coming against principalities and powers and claiming cities, you know, and staking claims and coming against powers of darkness and all this stuff. And yet it's another thing to roll up your sleeves and go to a person and cast demons out of them. And that's what's not very popular. Satan would much rather have us throwing rocks at hornets' nests from the safety rather than getting there and pulling a stinger out of someone who's been stung by a hornet. See, that's not so grandiose. That's not so popular. That's not going to be, you're not going to get the big crowds with that, because most of the people in the crowd are demonized. And the demons won't let them come to the meetings. Oh, demons will give green lights to the big meetings as long as you don't get personal about it all. And start casting demons up. It's interesting, if you look at Jesus Christ, what did he do? He wasn't in all this airy-fairy stuff. He was in ministering to one person at a time. Casting out their demons, speaking truth into their lives, loving them, washing their feet, defending them from people that judged them. That's who Jesus was. He wasn't airy-fairy and super spiritual. And then they were beaten with horrible pain for casting out a demon. Thrust in the inner prison. You know what that inner prison, think of it, no light. There was a stench of human feces and waste and rats and filth and leprosy on the walls. Think about it, first century prison. And for all, it says, who receiving such as charge thrust them in the prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Not only that, their feet were, you know, chained against the wall. That meant they couldn't get away from the rats. And they were laying in probably filth and horrible stench of a little cave inside of a prison with no windows and no light, suffocating air. And for all they knew, they'd never see the light of day again. And they were bleeding from horrible beatings. And for all we know, the rats were saying, something new to eat on. And they're laying there in this filth and horror, Paul and Silas were. And verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now stop right there. I think we can understand why they prayed. Would we have prayed? Oh yeah, we'd have prayed. You know we'd have prayed? Help! Let us out! Would we go wrong? Would we do wrong? Deliverance to schmiverance. I'm out of here. Get the rats off. Help.
That's how many of us would have prayed.
You think you had a hard day today? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and whined and complained unto God. Is that how it reads? You know what? There are a couple of verses in the Bible that are absolutely amazing to me, and this is one of them. This is so otherworldly, seemingly. In the horror of the nightmare of that situation, what do? They what? What was Psalm 34? I will what? Bless the... When? His praise shall what? Paul probably was... You know what? I believe they had that scripture in their spirit. It was embedded inside of them. They knew the principle of how to reach God. They knew it was from my spirit, not my emotions. Their emotions were probably less than the best at that moment. Their body was probably less than all fit and excited. It was bleeding, and for all I know, it was not going to live again. But their spirit was strong, and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. In fact, the Greek word saying praises is homnio, and they actually sang a hymn. Now, the question I want to ask is, what, where, and how in the world could they do that? I believe they had a faith many of us can hardly relate to, and the faith was no more than Psalm 34:1. They had it in their spirit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. They settled it. Long before that day, they'd settled in their spirit. Their relationship with God was by spirit. No matter what was going on, no matter where they were, no matter how they felt, they would choose to worship the Lord. For He is always worthy to be worshipped. Now let me ask you a question. Is that settled in your spirit? Honestly. Is it settled in your spirit? Is Psalm 34:1 settled in your spirit? That He is always worthy to be worshipped. Job said, though He slay me, what? I'll trust Him. Psalm 46 says, though the mountains be cast into the sea, though all these things happen, I will trust in the Lord. Well, because it was in their spirit, I want to show you something. Bondage-breaking praise and worship tonight. Because that truth was in their spirit, then they had the power to overcome heaven and hell. No demon from hell could defeat them. And I submit at that point, those angels that were camped out around them, they had their hands on those swords, and they were just waiting. You see, the angels of God are loosed from around us. The spirit of the Lord's power is released from within us when we make the choices of faith. When we choose to worship the Lord in spite of everything, we loose spiritual power from around us, through us, in us, to those around us. When we make those choices. And at that point, I believe as they sang praises, and I'm sure it was hard at first. Granted, it wasn't written yet, but bear with me. A mighty fortress is our... Come on, Silas. A mighty fortress is our God. Onward, Christian soldiers. They're kind of bouncing their chains up a little bit. They're kicking their legs, you know, on the stocks. What's that other one? Remember we were singing it last night at Philippi? Hallelujah, sing to Jesus. They're just moving around their chains, bouncing around. And these other guys in the other prisons, the other halls are going, what in the world is that? And they hear this noise, this singing in the midst of the nightmare, of the horror. And they sing and they spark up something and it comes alive. And they listen and they can't believe it. They're running to the walls of someone listening. And they're singing. They're having a party. Paul and Silas are singing and worshiping God in the nightmare situation. And God said, go. In verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors smashed open and everyone's bondages were loosed. Is that a fine verse or what? Now I want to show you the principle in the spirit. What preceded that miracle? What preceded that miracle was two men who chose to bless Him at all times. Who would not let anything overcome them from their relationship with Jesus. Now let's look at that verse in closing tonight. And suddenly, we're going to break it apart. Suddenly, King James reads that word in the Greek. is off now unexpectedly without any warning. God loves to do that. When we least expect it, God likes to come through for us. When we seem farthest away, He wants to come and show up in power. He often waits till the last minute, the last second. Why? To see where our faith is. You see, it was in the moment of the greatest freak out of the disciples that He stood up and He calmed the waters. I said, why are you afraid? Why are we afraid? The boat's full of water. We're sinking. So, I'm God, and I'm with you. We'll just float on the water. We'll all walk on the water back to shore. Suddenly, it says there was a great earthquake. The Greek is mega seismos. That speaks of releasing angels. I believe particularly high praises of God activates things in the spirit world that have an immediate effect on the physical world. When we praise and worship, we put through something in the spiritual reality, and something looses that manifests in the physical reality. That's when I've seen the miraculous before my eyes. I've seen people healed instantly, demons cast out, signs and wonders, and many of us have. Because it means the angels of God come out of the supernatural into the natural realm, and we can see something break. There was a great earthquake. The very foundation under that prison was shaken because the angels came down en masse. Because two guys were moving in faith and power. Praise and worship is the key to releasing the authority for disease and sickness. Praise and worship is the key to over the elements, over the weather, and even death itself. We are testimony of David Hogan and the many people that down there in Mexico that he's raised from the dead. And many times they would go into praise sessions and begin to worship the Lord. He told one story about that girl that was dead and buried in lime. And had been dead for 2 days, and the elders gathered around her, and they sang and worshipped for an hour, for 2 hours. And after a certain period, I don't know if that was one of those stories, the girl rose up from the grave and was alive. This is a true story, and happened not many years ago. Praise and worship released power from heaven and raised the very dead. And it says, and the foundation of the prison was shaken. Themelios desmort, I can't see these Greek words, so it means the bedrock place of bondage was broken loose. Unfortunately, most people are content with freedom and deliverance from surface symptoms. Peeling the bark, breaking the branches. But God wants to break the bedrock foundation of bondage. He wants to uproot He wants to undermine the very foundation of every stronghold in our life. And then it says, oh, I love this. And immediately, all the prison doors were opened. That was an interesting earthquake. It opened all the doors to all the prisoners in the whole prison. Every door was opened by these two guys. You know, there may be all kinds of doors that God wants to open for you and I. A new door to freedom in the spirit. A new door to a fresh walk of intimacy with Jesus. A new door to exit these struggles of your life. There may be all kinds of opportunity doors to be upgraded in privileges in the kingdom, to minister in greater ways, to obtain your heart's desire. But I submit to you, a grumbling, whining attitude keeps the door shut. And we can whine and beg and bang on the door all day long. Jesus said, I have the keys. Amen? Says in Revelation, when He opens a door, it stays open. When He shuts it, it stays closed. You know, guys, if you can get what I'm talking about tonight, to praise God in the midst of everything and anything, doorknobs are going to start turning. Are you hearing me? Many of us, we're waiting around. We've been crying to Jesus. We've been begging and pleading, fasting and praying, doing all the religious stuff for years and years and years, and wonder what God is. The heavens are brass and God isn't moving because God's saying, God on His faith. It's without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And how do we manifest faith in worship and praise in the midst of anything? To in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. God wants to open doors. And God's grieved that we have not done what it takes. See, God will open it. He'll turn the doorknob. You can see it turning as you worship it. In fact, the key is forget about the door. Worship Him, and He'll swing it open for you. We quit staring at the thing. Stare at Him. And you notice something's pushing you through it. Whoa, I'm on the other side. Yeah? Because for once, you're not your idol anymore. I am. Are you with me tonight? And finally, it says, and everyone's bondages were loosed. Now that's amazing. In the whole prison. I mean, this was a unique earthquake. Not only did it somehow, when the earthquake happened, break loose the locks and all the doors, but the earthquake caused people's shackles to fall off their feet and their arms. You know, every one of you in this room, or that's listening to this tape, you're surrounded by people in your life that are in bondage. You work with people. You have brothers and sisters and moms and dads and kids. You have neighbors that are in bondage. They're enchained. They're demonized. They're tormented. And you know it. And you know, the Lord sees and He cares and He grieves. And He desperately wants to set those people free that you know. He wants to set them free. That are in your sphere of influence. But you know, the dispensation of sending angels directly is not now in the New Testament. You know, He doesn't do that in the New Testament. In this dispensation, we are the body of Christ. And it's through His body that He acts. Amen? If we, you and I, don't, it won't. Are you hearing me? If you don't, it won't. God has given in our very hands the keys of heaven and hell for the lives of those around us. You, listening to this, may be the very and only avenue by which God can break the bondages and shackles of those around you. You, having the guts and the passion and the commitment to worship Him and to be sold out to Him 100%. Because the interesting thing is, Paul and Silas got a whole lot more than they bargained for. In fact, they weren't even worried about all this. They didn't go into that prison thinking, we have a ministry here in this prison, and our ministry is to set everybody free in the prison. That wasn't their heart. That wasn't their attitude. You know? They didn't go in there and said, oh, prison ministry. I guess God's put us in a prison ministry, you know? You know? Let's get a newsletter going. You know, let's get some mail outs. Let's start a little Bible study down in cell 5, you know? No? No. See, that's what we do. We just want to figure, we want to get in that old brain, amen? No, no, no. See, I used to tell people all the time, people that want to minister for Jesus, I say, you'll never minister for Jesus till you are a ministry. You be a ministry. So many people want to do something for Jesus. Quit doing it. Let Jesus do for you. You be a ministry. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You don't have to do nothing. Just be there. Let your light so shine. You know, there's no struggle for light to shine. It just shines. Don't have to do nothing for God. You know, it's indicative of youngsters in the kingdom. Babes in the Lord. I want to do for God. I want to serve God. I want to show God what I'm going to do for Him. I say, the best thing you can do for God is die. Die crucified with Christ. That fellow I was talking this week, remember Jenny? Bless his heart. Guy with incredible giftings, anointed, sends a daily devotional email for the last 3 years. Passion for the Lord, gifted. He called me a couple of years ago, but he had a worldwide ministry. And one thing after another, all these doors seemed to open up for him, all this and that, and it's all collapsed. He got an email this week. He says it's just all fallen through. The radio program that he was doing, is they've turned to suit him. He spent his life savings. He doesn't even have time to write devotionals anymore. He's just got a job so he can pay the bills. And I sat there and I looked at that email, and I have really enjoyed this guy's stuff. I've been getting it every day for 3 years. And everything's collapsed around him. And he said, you know, if you liked what I had, please send us, if you can, some money so we can survive. That's how he closed it. And I looked at that and said, Lord, what's with this guy? What are you doing? You know, when you read a devotional every day for years, you feel pretty close to him. He shared everything about his life, his kids, you know. And as I looked at it, I felt the Holy Spirit say, the valley of the shadow of death. Those gifts aren't going anywhere. They just got to die. And on the other side, He'll come out in glory. And I thought, oh, bless Him, Lord. Been there,
done that.
Oh, got the t-shirt, got too many t-shirts. Don't want to ever go there no more, Lord. Been there for years and years and years. Been there. You know what Jesus wants to do? Crush our self-sufficiency like fine powder. Crush us! If you fall on a rock, you'll be broken. But if that rock falls on you, what? It's going to grind you. Man, been there, done that. Some of y'all been with me a long time. No. Grind. But that thing, when he grinds exceedingly fine. You know what contrite means? To be ground to a fine powder. In fact, if you buy Johnson's baby powder, there's actually something called the contrition value. The contrition, the contrite value, how much it's been ground. See, God wants you and me in the prison, the inner prison of our torment, of our suffering, of our situation where we feel trapped and gnawed on. And it stinks. And we'd rather be anywhere else. And we feel very uncomfortable. If you can worship him simply because you're not going to hell. Just because you... Hey, this ain't nothing compared to hell. This is a bed of roses compared to hell. Can I hear an amen? I mean, we got to get our perspective right. I'm not going to hell! Hallelujah! Praise God! Worship him! You may strip my flesh off me alive, but I'm not going to hell! This life is but a short vapor. I'm going to heaven forever. If you can do that, I tell you, the angels of God that are camped around you, and some of them been camped there so long, they're asleep. They're playing dominoes in the tents. There's swords that can't even find them anymore. It's been so long. When you start worshiping him like that, those angels go, whoa, looking around for the swords, jumping out. He's moving, man. Our job's fixing to come, and the angels of God will pull out the swords in that inner cell of your situation. God will loose the angels of God into your life, I tell you, and he'll set the captives free all around you. He'll break the very foundation of that boredom in your life. And he'll begin to open doors. And all of a sudden, you're going to be around people and they're going to get free because of you. This is the words of a wise man feed many. But the tongue of a fool is but for a moment. God wants to use you. And this is why he wants to set us free. My life, my ministry, and my anointing in my life significantly changed when I began, put that over there and move this over, when I began to praise and worship. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. When I began to learn this principle years ago, everything began to change in a new way. Nothing can feed me because I'm not going to hell. And it's all uphill from there. Can amen? Now, if you are going to hell here tonight, you're stupid. Don't mean to be rude, but if for some reason you're not born again in this room tonight, that's not very wise. Get saved. Then everything else is just a trifle. And that's the way Paul saw it. He said to live as Christ, to die as gain. I mean, you know, he said, my heart is in heaven. And that's where our freedom is. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost anointing. I pray tonight that we would get it in our spirits tonight. Lord, my prayer is that when we leave this building, Psalm 34:1 would be buried down in a place it's never been before. And that though the gates of hell should come against us, we can still bless the Lord at all times and praise him. Even if it's many praise breaks. Just 10 seconds here, 5 seconds there, 30 seconds there, a couple of minutes. We can worship and adore the Lord.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.